You're listening to Longitude. This is Sunday, May the 15th. I'm Darris McNeely. With me today in Cincinnati, Ohio, at a meeting of ministers of the United Church of God, is Mr. Paul Kiefer, the European correspondent for World News and Prophecy. Paul, it's good to have you with us today.
Good to be here, Darris.
You live in Bonn, West Germany. Bonn, Germany, I should say. It's no longer West Germany. And you are a frequent contributor to many of our publications, especially World News and Prophecy. And we regularly refer to your postings on your own website, on our WMP Online website, with some of your observations of what's taking place in the European continent. So I think our audience is familiar with your name, and it'd be a good chance for them today to have a chance to listen to some of your observations of the European community, and especially Germany's role there. So we're glad to have you with us. Just recently, the Allied powers and European and powers and United States celebrated the conclusion of the World War II in Europe. President Bush went over. I believe Germany held their own commemoration in Berlin about that at that particular time and had a particularly different view. Maybe you could comment to our audience as to how different that view was as to what took place in Moscow.
Well, I think there's four events that have taken place recently that all tie together and that also have to do, several of them, with the end of World War II. For years, the German people, of course, experienced May the 8th as a day of defeat, but 20 years ago, on the 40th anniversary of the end of the war, then Federal President Richard von Weizsäcker said in a historic speech that the 8th of May was actually a day of liberation for Germany. And most Germans today, a majority of them, would agree with that statement. However, there are some who would use the term so-called liberation in referring to what happened to Germany after World War II, because, as we all know, you mentioned it, Germany was divided into two countries for some 45 years after the war. One side, the eastern part, dominated by the Soviet Union, and the western part, obviously a free country in our sense of the word, but nevertheless dominated by American culture, American materialistic values. And so some would say that it is only now that Germany has truly become free. Along those lines, it's interesting to note how recent surveys show that over half of present-day youngsters in Germany have no personal association with the Holocaust. For them, it's not something that is an event that they can identify with. It may be an historical thing, but nothing that they identify with personally. So you have a coming together of the sense of Germany emerging now as a nation in its own right, the recent selection of Pope Benedict XVI being viewed by some as a complete readmission now of Germany following World War II into the community of nations. And another event that reflects that as well is the invitation extended by Russian President Vladimir Putin to German Chancellor Gerhard Schröder to attend the special commemoration in Moscow that also our American President George Bush attended on May the 9th, the first time in history that a German chancellor has been asked to attend the Allied celebration of victory over Nazi Germany.
So you think that was a significant step, that invitation?
I believe that was a very significant gesture made by Mr. Putin to Chancellor Schröder.
Does it portend any future developments in German-Russian relations?
Well, German-Russian relations have been an interesting phenomenon to watch in recent years, especially since 2002, during the most recent national election for chancellor in Germany, when, as many Americans will recall, German Chancellor Schröder said that he would not engage on a campaign of blood for oil, and he refused to support the United States in its efforts to dislodge Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein. And Vladimir Putin, who is a strategist, a former KGB chief, and also at one time his country's section chief for the KGB in East Germany, he speaks fluent German, Mr. Putin obviously realized this was a key moment to improve relations with his friend. They refer to each other as friends.
Yes.
Gerhard Schröder, and he's made several moves to enhance or to closen German-Russian relations. And this is an aftermath, an outgrowth of that effort by Mr. Putin.
Doesn't Germany and many other countries in Western Europe obtain the majority of their natural gas out of Russia?
Yes, Germany in particular is a very energy-dependent, in the sense of imports, country. Germany has just recently signed very large delivery contracts with Russia for natural gas, to a lesser extent for oil. And the European Union as a whole is very dependent on imports, both for natural gas and oil. Germany is not as dependent on Russia for oil imports, but it is very dependent. The current figure runs something like 45% of its natural gas needs are met by imports from Russia.
So those relations are very, very important.
They're very important for Germany's economic well-being. And I think for Russia, in addition to the economic benefit that ensues, it's also important to play off Germany against the United States, the superpower in the world today. Russia smarting over the dismantling of the Soviet Empire. So it is very interested in having a close relationship with Germany to offset American influence in Europe.
That seems to be a big theme among European powers, and especially Asian powers, China in particular, this desire to offset American dominance and influence in world affairs right now, isn't it?
That's correct. As a matter of fact, recently a leading paper in Germany referred to Chancellor Schröder's European policy, which is set within the framework of the European Union to enhance Europe, to give it a larger voice in world affairs. His policies were described as actually being somewhat anti-American, not overtly so, but certainly in a political sense, and especially in the sense of trying to counter American dominance and influence in today's world.
Let's go back just for a minute. We opened up our discussion by talking about the end of World War II, and of course there's a generational shift that's taking place, and you mentioned how some of these commemorations mark a change in attitudes there, especially between Germany and Russia. But with that generation dying off, that World War II generation, are people forgetting the relationships that were there 60, 70 years ago in Europe, particularly Russia, Germany, and what America did and its role in that war and the relationship that it had developed through the North Atlantic Alliance over those ensuing decades? Is there a tendency to forget and to kind of craft a new vision of Europe-American relations, and especially German-American relations?
I wouldn't say that America's role or contribution has been forgotten. With the end of the Cold War and the coming down of the Iron Curtain and the Berlin Wall, perhaps it isn't remembered as vividly as it was years ago when those things were very real in everyday German life. They were a part of everyday reality. I think that today, the role that the Soviet Union played, having lost by far the largest number of both military men and civilians in the effort to defeat Nazi Germany, that particular role is being given more emphasis, that the Soviet Union paid a great price to defeat Germany. It's a bit of a dichotomy in a way, because in emphasizing that, you have one totalitarian system, that of Soviet Russia, being victorious over another, Nazi Germany. And there are commentators who do point out the fact that the victory of the Soviet Union over Germany at that time did not bring freedom to Eastern Europe. But many young people don't see it that way. Their view is to some extent colored by a growing prejudice against the United States, primarily because of the Iraq War.
That continues to have a dominant influence among much of the youth in Europe, not just German youth, but France and Great Britain as well, doesn't it?
That's correct. I think France and Germany in particular, and even recently in Great Britain, although Prime Minister Blair was victorious in his bid to gain a third term, the first time that his party's been able to do that. Still, there is a lot of discontent among younger people, even in Britain, towards the Iraq War, but not nearly as much as there is on the continent, in France, in Germany in particular.
On May 29th, the French will go to the polls to vote up or down on the European Constitution. Of course, along with Germany and Great Britain, those are kind of the big three countries in the European Union. If the French vote no, which many polls show that they will and reject that constitution, what impact might that have on Germany's role and as a leader in the European Union? Will they pick up more of that as a result of the French possibly saying no, or would things be changed there?
That's an interesting question. The latest poll that I've seen on the possible outcome of the vote on May 29th shows that the gap is narrowing between mm-hmm. opponents and supporters of the European Constitution, the EU Constitution. And just recently, last week, a large number of German intellectuals appealed to the French populace to realize that a no vote on this referendum will mean the first time in 50 years that Germany and France have not been in lockstep on a question involving European unity. And that is causing, these kinds of appeals are causing people to think. However, even if France votes no, it will mean that the European Union Constitution, as currently worded, will not be able to be implemented, but it will not be the end of the European Union. The European Union will simply continue in its current form, and as some have been proposing now for years, it may be the impetus to see the development of what is called or frequently referred to as a core Europe, a smaller group of nations wanting more close political ties, going on ahead and forming a political union within a greater European Union. And existing European treaties do allow that. They do allow a subset of the European Union to reach additional agreements that are not binding on the entire European Union.
I know a number of commentators have written about that in recent times. Do you feel that's a realistic possibility, that the current configuration could change to where there is kind of an inner core of a smaller group of nations that would be doing just as you described?
I think it's a real possibility, simply because of the fact that there are members of the European Union, Great Britain, United Kingdom being one of them, that really do not want European sovereignty over their own country. So there will be some that see in the EU, perhaps with some enhanced political aspects, a trade union. That's what they want. They want a free trade zone throughout Europe, and they're not interested in having an ongoing political development. So regardless of the outcome with the French referendum and others that are yet to take place, notably in the UK, I do see that, believe that this is a very real possibility for the future.
Well, we'll have to wait and see if that happens, and of course what implications that might be for the whole European community and the world community, and especially relationships with the United States. This particular podcast has gone a bit longer than we normally have for this, but having you with us today, Paul's been a treat, and your insights into Germany and European Union, living there, reading and writing as you do from the continent, is I think added to our podcast here and what we're doing on World News and Prophecy Online.org, WNPOnline.org, and our effort to reach out here. I encourage those who are listening to this to peruse through many of the other posts that we have on our website and the literature that we have that will not only from past literature but continual future postings will help you to understand this very important region, what's taking place over there, and particularly its relevance to Bible prophecy and the future of the United States and the relationship that it currently has in today's world. So, for this edition of Longitude, this is Darris McNeely. Thanks for listening.